Today, if you have your Bible, I want you to stand and raise your Bible above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 11. You may say, Leviticus, we're going Old Testament today. Well, we're going to go Old Testament, New Testament. Leviticus, chapter 11, third book in the Bible. Leviticus, chapter 11. When you find that, and you're going to make reference to other places, if you're going to be one that turns along with us, we'll be in Leviticus 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those three things. Leviticus 11, then 1 Peter 1, and 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, the Bible doesn't just give us a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture, for us to be able to pull that passage out and say, okay, you know, the Bible says this. How many people have heard somebody use the Bible to support something that they're doing and say, you know, the Bible says this. If the Bible says this, it's going to say it 3 or 4 or 10 times, right? Scripture will support Scripture. The Bible says that the Scripture isn't of its own private interpretation, that God's going to make sure that we know and we have a place to go in the Word to make sure it validates. You see, my opinion doesn't validate the Word of God. God's Word validates the Word of God. But my job is just to be able to find it and bring it to you. Your job is to be able to study and to find it. He tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? So we're supposed to look into it. Today, I want to show you something that I think is amazing, in that if we were to diagnose what's happening in our society today, what's happening in our churches today, what's happening in our individual walks with God, even as Christians, I would say that the subject we're going to speak about today is a subject that we're choosing not to look at, but it is so key. We're going to talk about a calling to holiness today. Now, when we hear the word holy, we immediately think, well, this is a church word, holy, right? It is a church word. But we've put this in the context of just saying, well, holy just means it's got something to do with church. Holy is something we need to realize we're called to be. I look around today and I see the same thing that happened in my life one time, and I don't stand here ever as someone who points a finger at you or anybody that's going to be listening today and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. I've told you before, most every sermon is something that I need to preach to myself or something that I needed to hear at one point in time in my walk with the Lord. Usually I've been guilty of it at some point in time in my life. And so with that experience of being a sinner, I bring this message to you. Praise God, I'm a saved sinner now. But I think that it's disturbing that even the church today has the push to bring people to God, bring people to God, bring people to God, and then there's no instruction after the person is brought to God. It's almost as if we can come to God and this message is put out that God loves you, that He's done this for you. Is that a good message? Yes. But then at that, when someone accepts that message, they're given a promise. And this is even the way that we pitch it. Even as Christians, we're pitching this. Come to God and accept His love. Jesus died for you. If you accept that by belief, you will get to go to heaven. Right? So we had this initial pitch to come to God, and the reward comes way later when you go to heaven. And I heard one of our five-year-olds this past week, and this is what she said. I'm never going to accept the Lord as my Savior. I'm never going to get saved. Why? Because I don't want to go to heaven right now. She didn't want to die. That's what she said. If I accept Him, then I'm going to die and go to heaven. I don't want to die. That's how simple her mind made it. We forget to tell them the in-between part, right? And if we're not, that's my fault. That's your fault. The in-between part is that we're not just called to salvation. We're called to holiness after we get saved. I want to use the Old Testament and the New Testament to point this out, because It's as if today we have a mindset that you can accept the Lord and be a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. And we can live however we think or we can justify outside of the Bible, or we can turn it around, or if the society changes, we can say, oh, well, we've revamped what we believe, and now this church accepts that, and this church accepts that, or no, we can do this because we feel this way about it. And when God has said something clearly in His Word, we need to go by His Word. Do you know that when you accept the call to salvation from God, there is another call that comes with that call? It is the calling to holiness. The calling to holiness. I want you to tell the person beside of you what that calling is to. It's not the call of salvation. It comes with the call of salvation. It is what? Calling to holiness. That's sort of scary because someone would say, well, I'm not a holiness kind of person. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you're a holiness kind of person. But don't take my opinion for it. I want to show you what the Word tells you, okay? You say, well, that's not my denomination. Hey, I don't even have a denomination, but I'm called to holiness. If you look back through, and maybe you've had a question about this, if you look back through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, there's something amazing here. We see that God spent quite a bit of time instructing the children of Israel in different rules and regulations as how they were supposed to live. If you look from the time the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, and you go back to Exodus 20, say, and don't do it right now, but go back to Exodus 20, and then go to Exodus 21, 22, 23, you will see God continually give these rules and regulations. We look at the Old Testament like that, we say, that's why we don't go Old Testament, because God was just giving all these rules and regulations, and they don't apply. Listen to this. God began to tell them about the Ten Commandments, but He didn't stop there. After the Ten Commandments, He said, hey, there's rules and regulations about the annual feast. Then there's rules and regulations about the building of the tabernacle. Then there's rules and regulations about the furnishing of the tabernacle and the way that something has to be offered to God and sacrificed a specific way. And then the clothes that the priest has to wear. Are you kidding me? The priest had to dress a certain way in order to offer a sacrifice to God. You say, isn't that going overboard? God had a reason. There was a purification ritual that the priests had to go through before they could even serve, sacrifice. Even down to what animals can be sacrificed. You say, so you like to read this stuff? Well, I'm seeing the mind of God. I'm seeing what He wanted. Well, why did God go through all this? And do we still need to be able to go through these legalisms? Well, I want you to understand by the time that we're through speaking today that God had a reason to put these rituals and regulations in place. Even though by the new covenant now, we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Under the old covenant, they came to God in fellowship with God and worshiped God under what He called the Mosaic Law. Under the law of God, the teaching of God, which meant that you came into a relationship with God, believing on God, but part of your relationship, your worship, your service had to do with you being obedient to these rules and regulations. You lived under the law. But God told us later in the New Testament, the law is what dooms us because none of us could completely fulfill all the law. Nobody. But is the law still important? Yes, absolutely. Because God shared what He wanted to do. And I want you to see how this ties in. You see, if you read that chapter 11, just that one chapter 11, He spent that chapter talking about the animals that you could eat. Like even down to what you can eat and what you can't eat, what you can sacrifice, what you can't sacrifice. And He distinguished those by saying, these are clean, these are unclean. You say, why would God go through such a pain of separating what we could eat or not eat if you were His children? You see, these people He was telling this to were His children. He saved them out of the bondage of Egypt. And if they wanted to represent Him, then they needed to do what He said do. This is important. Do you realize that in Leviticus 11, He gives us an answer as to why He put these things in place? Read these verses with me, please. Verse 43 and 45, I want you to read this and you're going to see how specific and complicated these dietary regulations and restrictions are. You say, why are we learning this? This doesn't apply. Oh man, does it apply? It applies this way. I want you to understand something. We're going to be told why God implemented these things when we read this verse, these verses. Are you in Leviticus 11? 43 through 45. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Here's the reason. Hold on, don't miss it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that is creeping upon the earth. Again, listen to verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You say, well, I didn't get the answer. I want you to understand the answer is right in front of us. He says in verse 44, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. He tells us in verse 45, I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. He specifically is saying, this is an individual thing. I've saved you individually. I brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore, whenever you see a therefore, you need to see why that therefore is therefore. And if you look at what it, when the word therefore, and you look in front of the word therefore, it'll show you what therefore is therefore. You understand? It's saying, therefore, from me saying all these things, therefore, be holy, for I am holy. Your answer is, in short order, God is telling them, since I am your God, since I have rescued you out of the bondage you were in Egypt, I want you to separate yourselves from all those other idolatrous nations and people who worship other gods. I want you to obey these rituals and dietary restrictions so that it will be an external illustration that you're separated unto me. You do this by your sacrifice and your obedience to me. This will signify that you belong to me, and your external illustration that you belong to me will be a sign that inwardly you belong to me. In short order, what God was saying is, if you've accepted my gift of salvation when I delivered you out of bondage, then you need to act like I belong, like you belong to me. I'm your God. That means that if you go to some other group of people, and you know as they journeyed, they saw the Amorites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, right? All kind of sites. Each person that they ended up going by could tell they were different. Why? Oh, these are the people that don't eat this. These are the people that can't do this. These are the people that have these regulations. Hey, they have to do it this a certain way. What does that mean? That means that's what their God demands. And so by the way they did these things, people realized they don't worship the same God I worship. So again, these restrictions, these rules in the Old Testament, they represented that these people belong to God. Now, we're not just going to talk about the Old Testament, because if you say, well, when did all these rules and restrictions change? Well, understand something. When the New Covenant came into place, when Jesus Christ came on the scene and He became that one sacrifice. Well, there are no more rules of sacrificing, right? Why? Because Jesus became that Lamb of God. And in the book of Hebrews, it said He did away with the old, right, to establish the new. The new covenant was better. Why? Because it wasn't something that you had to look forward to. It was something that has happened. It was something that you could take. But if a person, as Peter and as Paul wrote in the New Testament, if a person feels like they're connected to God by still doing some of these Old Testament things, you say, do you condemn them? No, if that's the way they want to worship, I don't condemn them. If it makes them feel close to God, as long as they don't say it's their means of salvation. Right. It's not my place to criticize it. If that's what they like and that's what they want to do. But that's not our subject today. Our subject is, why did God put these things in place? Well, because God was calling them to holiness. God says, you be holy, for I am holy. He's saying that by living by these certain rules and restrictions, you're showing that you belong to me, that you are of me. Right. Hey, say that with me. You are of me. of me. That means you belong to me. You're a part of me. You came from me. What you are came to me. Else you would be dead in your bondage in Egypt, right? I rescued you, so you're of me. So we can see God was calling his people then to be holy throughout the Old Testament. And you say, yes, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me. But the calling to holiness is not just an Old Testament thing. We see in the New Testament scriptures, after Jesus came and sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God, that when someone believes on Jesus for their salvation, they confess to God that they're a sinner, they come to God through Jesus, they are still called to be holy. There is still a calling to holiness that comes from God to his people, and especially for Christians today. When someone gets saved today, God rescues them from Egypt. You say, oh, what do you mean? Egypt was a picture of sin. It was a picture of a godless state of being. When God saves you, when he calls you to salvation, he rescues you when you answer that call. He rescues you from sin. So in the same way, it applies back to Leviticus. So when we get saved, we are of God. Do you realize that? Have you ever been referred to as a child of God? You belong to God. You're of God. Our salvation is a product of God. Our deliverance is of God. When we give our heart and soul to God, we belong to him. So God wants us to signify that by living the way that he commands us to live. Not necessarily by the Old Testament Levitical restrictions, but absolutely by obeying God's rules for what he says is right and wrong. To put it in clear terms, the outward demonstration that we belong to God, that we are of God, demonstrates that inwardly we belong to God. Jesus spoke about this whenever he talked about the fruit. How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? Because of the what? The fruit. The fruit is an outward sign, but the apple tree doesn't start with the outward sign. It starts with the seed. It's an apple tree. And you know it's an apple tree by the fruit. Now, it could be an apple tree that doesn't bear fruit. Would it be easy to know that it's an apple tree if it doesn't bear fruit? How many people can identify, besides the tree men in here, how many people can identify the trees when the leaves aren't on them? You know, the leaves are a fruit of the tree. But if the leaves aren't on there, can you look at the tree and say, it's this or this? That's hard to, isn't it? When I walked with Hugh the other day, and Hugh walked through and he said, hey, that white oak over there and this red, and I'm like, okay, yeah, the white oak, the red oak, yeah, yeah. I got you. I'm right with you. He knows. He's a tree guy. But listen, I wonder how many of us are that child of God. We're of him. But the outward sign that we're of him, that holiness that we're supposed to be, that represents him, how many of us, that fruit of holiness is not showing? See, we're not pushing the fruit of holiness, are we? Even as us today, we sort of sidestep around it and we say, well, God doesn't want you to be saved. You're not saved by works. That's absolutely true. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I understand that. God does not save us by our works. He doesn't save us by obeying the law or obeying legal things. God saves us when we come to him and say, I'm lost. I'm separated from you. I am a sinner. Not by believing there is a God. You don't get saved by believing there is a God. The Bible tells us even the devil believes there's a God. So we don't get saved believing there's a God. We don't get saved going through some class at church where they tell us, okay, now you've learned enough scripture, then you are good to go. Here's your certificate. We're going to have a ceremony. You don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. You don't get saved by knowledge. You get saved whenever God touches your heart and you realize, I'm separated from God. I'm a sinner. I need to accept that Jesus Christ died for me. And so by belief, you bring that into you, and God rescues you out of your sin, no different than he did the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when he rescues you, you've answered that call to salvation. Now get this, when you answer that call to salvation, There is another call that comes immediately, and it is a call to holiness. The call to holiness does not come before the call to salvation. God doesn't care what I've done. He doesn't care where I've been. He doesn't care how dirty I am or what's in my past. He said He'll take it and put it as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't grade me. He didn't look at the thief on the cross and say, hey, you're terrible because you're a thief. He didn't look at Zacchaeus and say, you've ripped off people. He puts your past behind you. He looked at the adulterous woman and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more, right? And then He takes us. That's a call to salvation. But after He takes us, we need to be preaching. There's a different call. There's a call to holiness, because people should know whose you are by how you act, how you talk, where you go, what you drink, what you represent, how you give, how unselfish you are, how forgiving or unforgiving. People should know that the same way they knew the children of Israel after. That was a long one, man. After He rescued them. After there was a call to holiness. See, once He got them out, He said, now, so that everyone knows you're mine. You see, before they even went in there, God said, they're going to know you're mine because I'm going to implement something with your patriarch Abraham. God had a circumcision to happen. He said, that's how people will know you're mine. You made this covenant with me. But after they came out, He said, hey, the covenant is going to be made by the way you carry on your everyday life. Your everyday life, there's a call to holiness. You say, well, you still haven't given me New Testament. Hold on. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter would know something about how Jesus thought, wouldn't he? Listen to how Scripture supports Scripture. 1 Peter spent this first introduction here in his letter talking about the praise we should be giving to God because of this living hope that we have, that we don't have to hope just for this life, that God has something prepared for us. When we get to verse 13 through 19, it's almost as if He knows our mind will ramble down here on this earth. Will your mind ramble? Oh, don't make like it won't. I told you, it's not that we're so bad we don't serve God the way we need to. Usually it's that we're so busy we don't serve God the way we need to, right? Our mind will ramble. How many people have ever been praying to God and all of a sudden you're thinking about something that you weren't? I start praying about it and then I start working it out while I pray, and before long I've done ran this scenario and I forget, hey God, I was talking to you. Hey, I've admitted it. You can come clean. Have you? Why? I'm telling God I'm going to give it to Him, but it's almost like, okay, I told you I was going to give it, but I haven't given it to you. I keep dwelling on it. My mind, your mind, it gets out there, doesn't it? We've accepted the God of creation that created the world. We've accepted the love from a God that created the world, a God that can make life come into someone, that can give a breath or take away a breath, a God that makes the sun come up, but yet somewhere in my mind, I'll start running the details and fall into worry or fear. Oh God, what is this? Now, I'm going to go to the doctor, and what if the doctor tells me this, and the doctor tells me this, and it is what I think it is, then I'm not going to be able to work, and if I can't work, then I can't support my family. If I can't support my family, what's going to happen to my family? And before that, well, I've got kids that are going here, so am I going to be able to pay for their thing? And you're just diagnosed yourself. And you fell into worry and fear, and you served the living God that created you. That's how your mind can wander, right? Quickly. You know what He says? Gird up the loins of your mind. I love this because he uses this picture. Gird up the loins of your mind. In those days, you know, the clothing they wore, they had this, and they had this belt that was tied around there. But if you want to be able to pull everything in, you had to gird it up. That means put a belt around it. You see these guys walking around today with their pants hanging way down to here. You know what? If they had to run for something, they couldn't run. If they had to chase something, they couldn't chase. You know what he's saying? Pull your pants up and get ready to go. Be ready for sir. But he wasn't talking about pants. You know what he talked about? Your mind. Reel in your mind from that fear. Reel in your mind from that discouragement. Reel in your mind from that depression. Reel in your mind from that worry. Get your mind right. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. What is be sober? Be alert. Be aware. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, look past what you're seeing now. One day, you're going to see Jesus. Until then, you need to have your mind right because you need to be holy. You need to be living holy. You have a calling to holiness. So don't get distracted in this intermediate phase of your life. You got saved. Sure, you hope to live 50, 60 more years after you get saved. Hey, don't get complacent in this time that you have between when you're saved and you meet Jesus. Keep living like you're going to meet Jesus is basically what he's saying. As obedient children, are we living as obedient children? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as to he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. But he which hath called you, verse 15, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He said, if you've accepted this calling and you're looking for Jesus, you shouldn't be living like you were living before you were saved. That was verse 14, right? Not like you did before you were saved. Now, this command again, odd that it comes in 1 Peter. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Does that mean how you talk? That's part of it, but conversation here refers to your everyday life. Be holy in your everyday life. There are some people that would never swear, never say a word that was inappropriate. But they would cheat the next person right out of what they're cheating, right? There's some people that would never swear, never say anything. But they'll turn that computer, that iPod, that phone over to some kind of pornography, and they'll spend some time looking at it. But they ain't said anything, so it's not talking about conversation. When he says conversation, he's talking about your everyday lifestyle. What are you supposed to be? It said, so which he hath called you, it's holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. This is a call to holiness in the New Testament. But then he refers back, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Do you know what that's a reference to? Hold on. Leviticus 11. So you mean to tell me that God's call in Leviticus is still active call today? Absolutely, unequivocally, without doubt, yes. It's clearly a command for Christians today. This calling of holiness is a calling to all of us today who live under the new covenant made by Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that? Because, well, he specifies that in verses 17 through 19. He basically says, if you call God your Father, then you should behave like you are of God. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Your freedom was purchased by God, just like the children of Israel, so you also have a calling to holiness. You're called to live like you belong to Him. Do you hear that? You are called to live, Christian, like you belong to Him. And if you've never accepted that call to salvation and you're listening today, you can't begin to accept a call to holiness. You can't accept it first. Your works won't save you. You have to accept the call to salvation, which means that at some point in your life, you have to realize, hey, God does love me. He sent His Son Jesus to die for me. I have to come through the blood of Jesus. I have to confess to Him I'm a sinner and ask Him to save me. After that, right after that, you receive a calling to holiness. I guess it's a good time to give you the definition of holiness. Holiness is the quality of being holy. You say, well, that doesn't clear anything up. So let me give you the definition of holy. You don't even have to write it down. Short definition. Even Webster says to be holy, Holy means you're of God. Anything holy is of God. His works, His dwelling place, His attributes. Is holy important? I'll tell you how important it is. Holy was used 611 times in the King James Version Bible. 544 verses, the reference to holy was made, Old Testament and New Testament. But yet we put that word aside. You know why? Here's why. Do you know that we live in such a politically correct world today where we don't want to offend? We don't even want to present Jesus to the person because we're afraid, oh, we don't want to push it on. If I had a dime for every time somebody has told me the reason they don't witness is because they don't want to hit somebody over the head with a Bible, well, pal, you're far from hitting somebody over the head with a Bible. You don't even have a Bible. I'm saying we've gotten to a point to where we're saying, I don't want to act this way in front of somebody because I don't want them to think that I'm overboard. I don't want to push this on them. See, we went to the extreme. God implemented a system back in Leviticus 11 that says people should know your mind when you come around. They should know the way you talk. They should know the way you walk. They should know what you do, what you don't do. They should see me in you by the way you act. Why? Because they're acting holy because He is holy. You can tell they're of Him. Do you realize that it's almost as if we're on a campaign to say, well, we don't even want to use that word holy. It scares people off. When we call something holy, we're saying it's set apart for sacred usage of God. And we almost have sort of worked that word out of our system. You know, Emily, that Bible in front of you in that pew, hold up that Bible. What's this called? What is it called? Oh, you know now since I'm preaching on it, right? Yeah, you're smart, you're quick, you're bright, right? Otherwise, what would you have called it? It's the Holy Bible, it's of God. You start calling it the Bible, you've taken the deity of God, you've taken the holiness out of it. It is Scripture that is inspired by God, that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Isn't that what He told us? It's the Holy Bible. Amen. The angels are the holy angels. You've heard them described, right? His dwelling place is the holy dwelling place. The Spirit of God that comes into us is not just some foreign spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's of God. But do you know that when you become a Christian, you're supposed to be a holy vessel of God? And we have an issue with that. I had an issue with that years ago. You know, I almost began to listen too much to the way to go out and minister to people. I don't think there was ever a time when I was passive, but at that, I started thinking, well, maybe this or maybe that. You try to find these ways to appeal to people. About 5 years ago, 6 years, I forget. You know, time just slips by, but no, it was longer than that. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I was watching one of my sons play football. I was down on the first couple of rows in the bleachers. Y'all remember that? I came in on a Wednesday night. I was upset. And I kept hearing this mouth from the top row that kept taking the Lord's name in vain and taking the Lord's name in vain because the game wasn't going good. Y'all remember that? Oh, it gave me such incentive because, listen, normally the old me, boy, I want to go up there and tell him something, right? You say, well, there's a new you want to tell him? The new you has to tell him. So I listened to as much as I could, which wasn't much, but it was quite a few times. So I'll go up to this gentleman on the very top row, and I said, hey, mister, listen, I really don't appreciate you saying that. I sat down beside of him, like sort of just eased in beside of him. I said, I don't appreciate you saying that. I'd like to ask you to quit using that language. I said, it offends me. You're talking about my God that saved me, and so it offends me. Would you please quit using that word? And so in his belligerent way, and because society has empowered this man and his ideas, He says, I can say what I want to say, wherever I want to say. This is a free country. And so he turns to the person beside of him and he says, is it bothering y'all what I'm saying? And so that they wouldn't offend him, they said, well, sure, you can say whatever you want to say. I don't, you know. They wouldn't stand up. So at that I said, well, I'm just asking you to stop saying it. As I turned and went down, now I didn't encounter anything else, never raised my voice. I can't always say this, so I'm just telling the story where I really was good. So I didn't raise my voice. As I began to walk back to my seat, he stood and declared, there he goes, holier than thou. Look at him, holier than thou. Come and tell me what I can say. Boy, big man, he was shouting. You know what I could say at that point? Nothing. You remember Jesus? Was it hard? Oh, mercy. I knew the quickest way to get him down, and it wasn't through the bleachers. It was over the top, right? He kept saying, holier than thou, and I had that thought as I sat there and took that. I thought, okay. Now, if I would have directed it back at me, and there are some people that are holier than thou. You'll know when they talk, because when they're trying to tell you something, it all is to blow them up. Listen, I don't do this, so this gives me the credit. No, when you're acting holy, it should give all credit to God. Then you're not being holier than thou. The Pharisees tried to act holier than thou. That meant they glorified themselves in what they were doing. When you're acting holy, it's to glorify God. It's to symbolize God. It's to represent God. It's not to go out and say, I do this, or I do this, or I give this much money, or I go this. No, you don't say that kind of thing. You're doing right and wrong according to what God says so that they'll know you are His. And I began to think, and this thought came to me. There should be more people that are looking at me and looking at you and thinking that we're acting holier. If you're acting holier, they should think it. You say, well, I don't want them to think that. It's going to make me look bad. Again, that's our problem. We're not wanting to act too godlike. People might think we're just holy rollers or we're holier than they are. Get over yourself. It's not about what they think of you. It's about you representing God to them. Now, if I get into a verbal confrontation with that guy and I try to say, I would never say that and it all comes about me, yes, I've misrepresented God. But if I act like God, if I walk like God, if I talk like God, and again, I'm just using an example where I got it right, not the many times I got it wrong, okay? I'm taking the liberty of the pulpit. I'm saying on that particular day, at least he saw. At least he heard the holy stance that was supposed to be represented. I can't say in my life that he would have always heard that. I can't, regrettably. But do you know that later on, that person that was sitting beside of that gentleman that denied the holiness of God, their life fell apart, their family fell apart, and I got a phone call. And it had eaten them up from that day that they denied the holiness of God. Later on, that gentleman that was speaking completely fell apart. Understand something. None of us are no better. You're not any better than anybody else when you're saved. Not any better. So you don't act like you're better. You just act like you're His. I'm His child, simply. I'm His child. When God calls us to Him, He calls us to act with the attributes that He would have. Loving, compassionate, patient, full of grace, forgiving, full of mercy, kind, generous, truthful, without sin, faithful. These attributes of holiness in God are a picture of holiness in us if we have the Spirit of God in us. When He calls us to Him, He offers us the opportunity to be saved. If you accept the call to salvation, you have to accept the call to holiness. And today we're getting that all wrong. This is why I'm declaring this so fervently. This is why I'm passionate about this. We are telling people they can accept the call to salvation, and then listen, don't worry about it until you show up with Jesus and you walk on the pearly gates and, hey, you're in. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. There's a call to holiness. There's a call to represent Him, or else no one else is going to know He's your God. There is a call for me to be holy in the way that I'm a parent, in the way that I'm a husband, in the way that I'm a neighbor, in the way that I'm a coworker, in the way that I'm a friend. There's a calling, and it might not be the most popular. It might not be what everybody's doing. As a matter of fact, when He gave those Levitical guidelines and regulations, nobody else was not eating those things. They were different. You know why? God said, you need to be set apart to me. Because everybody else is doing it, you don't have to go along with it. Well, I don't want them to not be able to relate to me. You know, they're relating to you as just like them, so you're never going to be able to say, hey, I've got something different. Don't forget you're not better. The interesting thing that we see, and I end up with 1 Thessalonians 4. I want to close with this. 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul speaking to believers, he begins by saying, brethren. He says, I want to exhort you, I want to encourage you to live this particular way so that you can please God. Read this passage sometime. This is what you need to do in order to please God. But can I tell you simply today, in order for you to please God, then you need to answer the calling to holiness. You say, well, that's going to be different. It's not going to go over well. When it's different, it draws people's attention not to you, but to God. If you're doing it to draw the attention to you, you're wrong. If you're doing it to draw the attention to God, then that's on God. He told you to do it. I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about doing what He says is right, not doing what He says is wrong. He goes on in this passage to say, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain. Abstain, that means not to participate. Abstain from fornication. Immediately, when we hear fornication, we think, okay, well, he's talking about sexual impurity. He's talking about sex outside of the marriage covenant. Yes, physically, that is what fornication is, but do you know that Christians all over the world today are committing spiritual fornication? They're going along with what the gods of this world say are okay. And they're turning their back. They're going to bed with other idealisms and social responsibilities and all these new campaigns that they have out that says, hey, don't say this is wrong and don't say that is wrong. When you stand for God, you're supposed to be different. Not better, but different. They should be able to identify you. Why? Because you're of God. Listen, I have children, and if you have children, I can look at my son today and somebody might say, oh, well, you know what? He looks like his mom or he looks like his dad. Well, he should. He's of me. And when his mom turns to me and he says, well, you know what? He does that just like you do it. And usually it's always something good. Right? He should do it because he's of me. And if I've spent my time with that young man, and I've taught him, then he should talk like me. He should walk like me. He should think like me. He should go where I go. He should know not to go where I don't go, because I'm supposed to be holy in front of him. And my holiness is an attribute of God, not of me. When he says, Dad does it this way, he should be able to say, Dad does it this way, because his father said he should do it this way. This is the generational drop ball that we have here. Nobody wants to live with a holiness anymore, but if you're a Christian, you're called to holiness. You're of God. It's almost like we've taken that word, and I guess nothing chaps me any worse than, and I hear it more than more. When I hear holy today out in the world, it's just in some kind of astonishment. Holy this or holy that. Can you believe that happened? You say, well, I only say holy cow. Listen, I've heard holy this or holy that. Listen, you're profaning even the word holy. You might as well swear. You say, oh, well, you're getting nitpicky. Did you just hear the Bible study we've had on this word? Of God? And you want to use it in a context to put it somewhere like that? No, sir, no, ma'am. Holiness is a big deal. It's important. God said, hey, you have a calling to holiness. Now, if you leave and you say, well, man, I wish I could be like the preacher. I wonder if he's that, if he is that way. Let me stop you a second. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. And I fail in my calling to holiness. But do you know the Bible tells me that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, right? That's a praise, because I do fail and I do sin and I need to get clean. So I confess it. But if I continue to live out of holiness with a sin that I will not, that I choose not to do, or this repetitive thing, or I choose not to be faithful, or I choose not to pray, or I choose not to observe what God said is right or wrong, or I compromise my stance, then that is an unrepentant sin that I live in. That's different than me messing up. An unrepentant sin is me saying, God, I know you say it, but I'm gonna disallow that. He calls me to be holy. I would love to say, I've got it down pat, but I don't. But he gives me help. He puts the Holy Spirit in me to convict me. He gives me the Holy Scriptures. You hear what I'm saying? The Holy Scriptures give me guidance. The Holy Spirit tells me, do this, don't do that. It's up to me to listen. Why? I have a calling to holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, the Bible gives us this verse, pretty important verse. He says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness or uncleanness, but unto holiness. There's your answer in New Testament, backing up 1 Peter. God called you to holiness, not to uncleanness. Uncleanness means that you're just accepting this sin. Today, the church is accepting sin. Families are accepting sin. People are accepting sin. The workplace is accepting sin. The media is accepting sin. We're saying, hey, whatever somebody likes. By doing that, we're disallowing this call to holiness. Now, I don't know where you're at today, but I have a feeling that God wouldn't have led me in this way to preach if someone wasn't struggling. I told you there's two type of people that will hear this, will hear every message. Those that will hear it that are lost, they've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those that will hear it that are saved. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's been a time in your life that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you realized you were lost and you called on Him in whatever prayer that you said, I don't have to give you a form prayer. If you cried out to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. I believe in you. Please save me. I believe Jesus. And He looks in your heart and knows that you believe Jesus died for you and you want to get to Him by accepting Jesus. That's the only way you can get there. If you've done that today, then you accepted the calling to salvation. You have to know with that calling, there's a calling to holiness. It is not a popular calling. That's why we don't promote it as much. But if you've never, or you can't say that I know, that I know, that I know, I'm completely sure that's happened to me, then listen, His first calling to you is a calling of salvation. Forget about the calling to holiness. That'll come. He's calling you to accept Jesus as your Savior by believing. He doesn't care where you've done, what you've done, where you've been. He loves you. The Bible says He commends His love to you that while you were a sinner, Christ still died for you. Amen. If you haven't accepted Him as your Savior today, I want to pray with you. I don't want you to leave here today without accepting the calling to salvation. God loves you. Jesus died for you. God wants to have fellowship with you, and He wants you to be with Him in eternity, and He wants you to live for Him. You're saying, well, that's why I don't get saved, because I can't carry out this calling to holiness. I know I can't live like He wants me to. Listen, don't short sell yourself. It won't be you. I'm not strong enough to live for God. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me. He gets all the credit. Anything that I've done good, He gets the credit. I could have messed it up. Be somebody. Be a child of God. Of God, of God, of God. That means there'll be a calling of holiness. You're a student that's going to go back to school. Someone could see or should see that calling to holiness on you. You might even know they see it when you're criticized. But that's still a calling to holiness, because that person is looking at you because God's put them there, and they'll go through something to where if they want to find God, they'll find you to find God. If you fail to do that, then that generation is lost. So I encourage you to live a life of holiness. If you mess up, realize you mess up. Confess it to God. He's the God of second chances, but He's not the God of deliberate sin. You don't make a mockery out of Him. And for adults, if you've been saved, you've been called to holiness. Your family, father and mother, should know you have a calling to holiness by what you watch on TV, the language that comes out of that house, what comes on that computer screen, where you're at on Sunday and on Wednesday. I threw Wednesday in there because I think you ought to be here. What you're listening to, what you allow to happen in that household. They'll know you're calling to holiness by what they see. Your workplace, they should know you've received a calling to holiness by your compassion, your care, your forgiving spirit, your absence of hate, your dedication to the Lord, your belief in the Word of God, and your stance on the Word of God. They should know you have a calling to holiness. You shouldn't have to wear a sign. If you want a bumper sticker, that's on you. I'm not against them. I'm just saying, if I'm around a person for 10 minutes, they better know I've got a calling to holiness. I don't care if I'm just in a department store buying something. How you doing with your calling to holiness? That's the message. Christian, hadn't we stopped thinking about it? We got our gift of salvation. We took it. It's good for us. We're going to heaven. Praise God, we're going to heaven. What about this in between? Are we living with a calling to holiness? Are we? Well, now that we say we are, would anybody else know it? Would anybody else agree? At this given time, we have an invitation. During this invitation, it's a chance for you to respond to God. If He's spoken to you, it's a chance for you to respond to God. How do you respond to God? You just talk to Him. We have an altar here. People come and bow and pray at that altar. Why? Because they're not ashamed. They come and bow before God. They're submitting to Him. They're showing their submission. They're saying, hey, listen, I want to separate my mind. I want to come and pray. Others don't. But wherever you're at, talk to God. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, then I want to talk to you. Listen, we'll pray. Everybody in here will rejoice. The angels, the holy angels in heaven will rejoice if you accept God's salvation today. And your life will be changed, and He will help you to live holy. Will you be perfect? No way. He knows that already, but He doesn't expect you to say, well, I can't do it, so I'm not going to accept. You have to accept the gift of salvation. If you do that, and you're in here today, my prayer is that God shows you yourself like He showed me myself. I could tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, hey, I know I was saved. I know when I was saved. I can tell you where I was saved. I know that. But I'm not so vocal about my calling to holiness. It doesn't sound as good, right? I remembered my call to salvation, but I can't tell you I remembered my call to holiness like I should have. Can you? If you haven't, today's a good time for you to say, God, I get it. I get it. You called me to holiness. I want to rededicate my life to you. I'm coming to talk to you. I'm going to pray to you. Thank you for what you gave me. Thank you for rescuing me out of bondage. I want to live for you. Give me strength. You don't have to go out of here with a plan. Here's what I'm going to do. You go out of here with the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll help you be holy. He'll change other people's lives. And maybe you are in that spot right now where all you could do to this was just say, hey, that's right, because listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to live holy. I'm trying to separate myself to God. I don't think about me. I'm thinking about what God wants me to do. I'm going to represent Him no matter what. Listen, I need you praying harder than anybody right now, because you're right in that communion with God, that conversation with God. And speaking of communion that's getting ready to start after the invitation, realize that it's a mockery to come to God with unrepentant sin in your heart, to take His holy communion. as if we're saying, well, God, I'm doing this, but, you know. Look over it. God tells us to clean our heart. So use this time of invitation just to talk to God. Make sure that you've got your heart clear and clean with Him. To be holier is not to be better than somebody. It just means that you've accepted the gift of salvation and you're living to represent who you are of. You're of God. Father, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for your message. I thank you, Lord, for preaching and teaching to us today. Lord, help us, Lord. Look at ourselves right now. I pray that every person in this room is able to look at themselves, that they can see you, Lord, that they can see if they are honoring that calling to holiness. God, give us strength. Can someone tell that we belong to you in our everyday conversation, in our everyday life? Lord, I pray that you take away any inhibitions, Lord, from anyone today that's coming to talk to you, that you make it so free and clear to have the Holy Spirit move. If there's anyone here that's never accepted your Son Jesus, I pray for their salvation today. But I pray, Lord, today for those that have accepted your salvation. I pray, God, today that we are able to look at ourselves and see if we are answering this calling to holiness. And I pray, God, conviction comes on the scene and that you show us ourselves and that prayers are lifted up and repentant prayers and lives are changed today, Lord. Move in this place during this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.